post this week. You know, we've got Unknown T, Homer MB. I've got the Cully on me. Oh, Jesus, you see what I did there. It's episode 3, Thoughts in the Cully. Blood Diamond is out now. Check out the full video on GRF Daily.
I'm on my boy. Oh, you got me with that one, you know.
Daniel. Oh, then you put it like this. What are you saying, bro?
Yeah, there, my boy, man.
You good, yeah?
It's been a long time, my brother. I'm good still, man. How are you?
It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, cuz.
How's life?
You know what, yeah? If I'm honest with you, I've been enjoying life as of recent still, man.
Yeah, you're looking very expensive. You know, there's...
Thank you, my bro.
There's a Blade Brown line. They say pain is seeing a nigga's chain.
Yeah.
And knowing that's more money than you got to your name.
Realness.
So why are you inflicting all this pain, my guy?
It's realness, my bro, man. You get me?
That chain is crazy.
It's not, my bro, man. Yeah, this was something as a kid, innit? I've always wanted to do, innit?
Like, how long have you wanted this piece? Because, you know, when I saw it, it made such a mark because it's not you're the type of guy, you know, I watch what happens. Like, I remember when you bought your first Sky Dweller.
And then you had
another watch. Yeah, and so I see what's going on. And then you just came out with the big boy. And I was like, fuck.
See, what's interesting? See, for me, I've seen a lot of people in America. I've seen a lot of artists, like, have their stage in it. But I've always just wanted to wait for my moment. Where I could just, let people know I'm Unknown T.
Nah, you definitely took that moment, boy. I think it's definitely top three chains in the game right now.
I appreciate that, man.
I would throw Mikey's in there.
Mikey's is crazy. It's crazy as well, still similar T as
well. And they landed like a week apart, I feel like.
Yeah, still. You know what? I'll give it to A Jeweler because even though they're both T's, completely different.
Completely
different. And it also has personality behind it as well, isn't it?
You know what?
I've also realized, the effect it has. My real reason for grabbing this chain was not only obviously for myself for sentimental value, but I also wanted to use it as like a chess piece. Because I've noticed in person, it's weird because it's worked more with like artists and man them than girls.
Like everything you're saying now sounds more important to me now.
Yeah, like I'm not going to lie to you, bro.
Like before, I wasn't really taking you in like that.
No, I'm seeing, but you're funny because it's mad, I actually feel like that with certain individuals, bro.
Yeah.
Certain big dogs in certain environments, bro. They're actually now taking man in these fashion rooms. Oh my God, bro.
What have you done, Geezer? I can't save you. What is going on? Well, you can push it back on the side. Yeah, your seat just went mad. Unknown T, obviously, I held you up as Daniel. Obviously, I know that's your real name.
That's not my bro.
It's not like your name has a T in it. So, like, where did you come up with the name? Like, what does Unknown T mean?
Obviously,
it's a very good name, by the way.
I love my bro.
Very original.
Rest up, my brother Shaggy. Obviously, he was the one that also helped, man. First, I was in the ends. Everyone knew me as Twigs. Those that know me, innit? Obviously, I was Twigs because I was skinny. It was my secondary school tag. Grew out of them BBM days. Then from there, it's like, from the ends, obviously, people knew me, but some people didn't. I'm saying, probably like only my community knew, man. In Hackney, you wouldn't catch my face out there like that. You know what I'm saying? But obviously, it came to a point where I realized how it had an effect with music. Obviously, my first moment was Tim Westwood Crip Session. I'm saying, like everyone knew me as Twigs and thought, rah, like you're very anonymous the way you move, innit? So it's like, just came like Unknown T. I just thought, rah.
Nice.
My bedrooms told me this actually sounded hard because I was going to call myself T Sterling before Unknown T. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But well, I made the best decision of my life, but that one day I had a little lingo still.
It's funny that you touched on that Crip Session actually, because that's the first time I saw you. Like, I feel like my little brothers are the same age group as you. So they were showing me this Crip Session and out of nowhere, like I heard a human being saying, baby, bend your back and dig it, dig it, bend your back and then dig it. And I was thinking, what the fuck did this guy just say? It was the first time I'd heard, I don't want to use the wrong words, but like cadence and flow and style on that particular type of beat. Do you get what I'm saying? When you came up with that 8-bar or whatever that is, that 16-bar, like, is there a specific weed you were smoking that day? Like, what happened on day when you came across that vibe?
Honestly, bro, I've only just found myself again to understand what it is that's been missing. It's the fun, bro.
Yeah.
Now, I'll let you know a bit of background detail. At that time, bro, I kid you not, I was just a young brother from the streets. But also, remember, we're still around education and opportunity, innit? So I was blessed enough to beat my cases, and be able to go uni. I went to De Montfort, DMU, Leicester. Amazing experience as a teen. Because man, got to actually see and understand life. Go and enjoy parties, raving, gyalem. Like, I still had that twist to me, yeah. As you can hear in the music.
Yeah.
Street, but I was still cool with a gyal and just life. So like from there, I'll be real, it was a sensitive moment for me because I was talking gyalem around a group of niggas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the man actually have never heard man do that. They just called me to come down. Like, yo.
Oh, that's
bro.
The first time they'd heard it as well.
Yeah. Okay, I remember at the time KO told all the man them, yo, Timuswood and that, Pat and the Homer and Crib session, bro, we need the star players here, innit? You get it? Obviously, he gave everyone separate beats, but imagine, that wasn't even the beat that I even got sent to me.
Okay.
So, I've naturally prepared myself for something else, but in the moment, yo, grab the mic, you know how it gets.
Yeah.
And from there, boom.
So what are you saying? You felt a bit, did it feel awkward when you did it though in a room full of men? Because like I'm saying, that's the first time I'd heard something like that. So what, was everyone looking at you like?
At first, I was a bit uncomfortable, but like, the man had fucked with it, which I loved. That moment when I started singing the Homer and B part and everyone, obviously from my block, they knew that little lingo, like that I was always, I held on to when I was rapping in like our circle sometimes, boom. But I feel like it made sense because it was a contrast, like I'm around a room full of niggas, masked up and everything, but like I'm talking that context, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for sure. And obviously that moment was the beginning of your journey that propelled your career to where we are today. Like, obviously you just recently dropped the album, Blood Diamond, sick project.
Thank you, my bro.
We can count on you to provide and deliver a sick body of work. When it came to the album title, what does Blood Diamond necessarily mean to you?
I wanted to like show the people, obviously, not only my roots and where I come from, but also the understanding of like the blood, sweat and tears that I've had to go through to get to this point today as a drill rapper. There's so much obstacles around us, innit? And we're probably one of the most vulnerable people in professions, innit? Do you get it? So I've decided to call it Blood Diamond to show that I am that diamond that's come to this point through so much obstacles.
Yeah, you've been through some stuff, like, and to be honest, like, obviously the times that I've been around you, you seem like an easygoing type of person.
Yeah, love my bro.
Like, that likes to cut through. So it's quite surprising every time there's a little situation with you, because I'm thinking, bro.
This guy's so confused. He's like, never been niggas
And obviously now as well, I've seen you quite heavily involved in fashion. I've been to a few Paris Fashion Weeks myself, and I've seen models that kind of resemble you, your complexion, your style, whatever. So is that why you've kind of, your career's kind of taken a natural kind of attraction to fashion? Yeah. Have people been hollering at you because of that? Like, what happened? How did that come about?
That part of my story is very interesting because I feel like, obviously, at a certain point when I came out of prison, fresh home, you know, I had this perception of me like, yeah, I've got the G's behind me. I've got the man them all listening and tuned in. Same way with the girls. But this brought me to a whole different dimension, a whole different world of people. Obviously, I'd done a song, World War II.
Yeah.
Which I just naturally just had fun with, done a couple lyrical references. And I mentioned Virgil Abloh, one of the bars, right? So from there, he hit me up, DM'd me, and he was really showing me mad love. Like, he really loved my music. You know what I'm saying? And like, obviously, I didn't realize it, but a lot of the models in this modeling world, tall, black, slim build, similar to myself.
Yeah. I've seen bare people that look like you as models at the Dior fashion show. It's crazy. Or like, you know what I mean?
Looking at the demographic in the UK, musically, I'm probably the only one of that resemblance as a rapper here in the UK.
Yeah, for sure. Let's be real here now. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I respect Virgil for crocking and seeing the resemblance and testing the waters, where he actually got man to walk for Louis Vuitton.
Okay.
From just me mentioning a bar about his name. Yeah, and having a relationship from actually liking my music. So like, I didn't know, if I'm honest to myself, I didn't know the detail of him at the time, being Kanye's assistant, traveling LA and this place and that place, being a DJ. But where he brought me into Louis Vuitton / Off-White world, as it started with Louis Vuitton, I walked that walk first, you know, I got to see my peers. And asking them what countries they're from, they're all from similar countries, Uganda, Sudan, a lot of East Africans, you get it? So I felt like at home. And from that point there, I'll be honest to you, like the people could see it in me. So it started to resonate from not only Virgil to people in his team. Off-White now starting to take me on board. So I done a BTS for Off-White's TikTok page, where I actually got to interview and talk to many different footballers and stars like Idris Elba, etc. And then from there, obviously, it led me on to doing other fashion walks as well. I can't even lie, man. I've done like four so far.
And you're killing it over there. What are you saying? They got you on some crazy diets and that?
You know what, bro? They haven't.
Don't lie, man.
I swear to you, they haven't. The most they've tried to make me do,
yeah,
which I didn't realise, a lot of like models have to cut down their side. For me, obviously, because I'm a rapper, they didn't tell me I had to. But like where I started to take it a bit more serious and notice that some people that love this world look at every little detail from your size, your skin, your walk, and everything.
Yeah.
As I went along the journey, I started just trying to pattern up now. Do you know what I'm saying? And like, yeah, bro.
That's something you'd have never known when you was younger, that you'd probably end up being a model well. Do you get what I'm saying?
Never.
I was actually watching Potter's 10-year anniversary of Training Day documentary, and I realized in that documentary, you mentioned that seeing him rap with so much confidence as a person that wears glasses gave you confidence in rapping. Yeah. Can you let us know a little bit about that? Because you're one of the best rappers we have, especially out the new generation.
Yeah, thank you.
And we might not have had that without you knowing. Because you wear glasses doesn't mean that you can't rap. Does that make any sense? But obviously, I don't wear glasses, so I don't have that experience where... Someone might think a certain perception of you wear spectacles. Does that make sense?
It's a deep topic. Obviously, those that do know, know that obviously I wear normal glasses, you know. I have poor eye vision, but obviously I've used these sunglasses to kind of like make it a marketing strategy to make me blend in, you know what I'm saying? But it worked. When I was younger and I didn't know about sunglasses and this unknown tea appeal, as a person in this environment, naturally, people labelled us with glasses as a geek or labelled us as weak. But where I respected Potter's ting, he was one of my like first artists that I really connected to from early. Looking at his journey now, I appreciate that because I've seen it from the beginning when he was in an environment around vultures, bro, hyenas, bro. But just because a man's physical perception is different, don't make a man's heart different. You know what I'm saying? And that stuck with me.
Obviously, like you've said, the glasses have now become a part of your brand, right? But you could also wear contacts if you wanted to, right?
Yeah,
surely.
I've had times when I tried. In fact, interesting fact, the fashion world, they're trying to get me to start wearing contacts. Like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's a bit of a clash with, like, obviously, walking, getting my prescription on certain glasses.
Yeah.
I'm having to do walks risking it. Like, wearing the glasses, because that's my perception, but I can't see shit.
Oh, really? Were you short-sighted or long-sighted?
Bro, I'm like both.
Swear down.
Yeah.
God damn.
God damn.
That's where your name comes from, isn't it? Because you couldn't see who you was.
Initially. You get me?
I've been in the game for like 15 years, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I've been in some crazy rooms in terms of like rooms I thought I would never be in.
Mm.
What's the craziest room of people that you've been in and who was in there?
The first memory that comes to mind, do you remember when Moncler had like a fashion show in London?
Yeah.
A lot of people came and obviously I was backstage. I got to like meet Justin Bieber. I got to meet Pharrell properly. I got to meet Lewis Hamilton actually knows my music. I was surprised.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he knows, man. But usually, I won't lie, it's in Fashion Week. Even so, like when I was doing the TikTok vlog for Off-White, I was meeting Pogba, Idris Elba, Mia Khalifa's and Selena Gomez's, and they're different people.
So would you say Lewis Hamilton is the most famous person that's acknowledged that they've listened to your music?
You know what? The other day, after I'd done my Off-White walk, I met this French artist, Kalash, and he's very good friends with Thierry Henry. Thierry Henry FaceTimed him and said, Unknown T, yeah, I love your music, bro.
Oh, yeah?
Tuned in.
Crazy.
So I'd say, for me anyway, because I was once an Arsenal fan as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably Thierry Henry.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mm. Who's the buffest thing that everyone knows that's ever followed you?
The buffest thing that everyone knows? That is a good question, you know. I have a lot of paintings. I'm not gonna lie, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head.
Like, have you had what's homegirl's name again? Mm. Alexis Sky follow you or?
They followed me, but I see them like my pictures one time here and there because the chain, innit?
Okay. Oh, swear down.
Yeah.
What you say? I can get a pee like that.
Yeah.
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 Now that you're hot stuff in these streets with the with the chain and the ladies and stuff. Obviously, there was that thing in Paris where you went shopping with your cousin or something. And then they made the blogs.
Oh, when I went to France to see my friend.
Yeah, your cousin.
She's a friend.
Oh, it's a friend.
Yeah, she's a friend. She's a friend still.
It just gets blown out.
You know what it is? Yeah, because one thing I tuned into after my album. Yeah. Even just a bit before, just enjoying life a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Going as out, you should. Living my life as you should, innit? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I've realized sometimes those are the natural things that will gravitate to the people.
I did look at that and I thought, rah, you got some really cool friends right now.
I love still my bro, man.
Yeah. Like, I like how your friendships are growing.
Yeah, man.
Have you missed out on any songs in terms of someone asked you to be a feature but you couldn't make it in time or you was busy that we could have potentially have heard of us from
you?
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. I will always beat myself up for missing that Dave session.
Dave session, yeah?
Yeah, my team always get on to me about that as well.
Was there a specific song?
It wasn't a specific song, but he called me randomly one time, but I just felt so, so tired.
And you missed out on the session?
Yeah.
It gets like that sometimes.
Yeah, it gets like that still. His team called at random times saying, yo, pull up. I think it was like maybe 3 a.m. or something.
But okay.
Like, yeah. From that day, I learned my lesson.
And what are you saying? You guys haven't been able to reschedule since?
I haven't still, to be fair. Hopefully, God willingly, one day. But right now, I feel like I'm in my own momentum bubble right now. Like I'm trying to build my catalog.
Okay. Now you're Ugandan, obviously. I see you lot do Ugandan link up sometime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously there's Daniel Kaluuya there sometimes.
Yeah, there's
a Miss Banks there.
There's
a you there.
Yes.
There's a lot of power in that room sometimes. Obviously, it's obvious that the Ghanaians are the heaviest in the industry, but we're yet to kind of pick a date where we all meet up because we're so busy.
Yeah, because we're
just really busy. But you know, like in the Ugandan world, what are you lot discussing when you're over there?
We use that space to get to know each other because we're all in different worlds, remember? I'm a rapper, Eva Apio, she's a model.
Yeah.
We've got Miss Banks, you know what I'm saying? We've got Daniel Kalulas and Isaac that works in Daily Paper, owns that brand, you know what I'm saying? Like, we just get to understand each other and our
support
backgrounds,
each other
different
as well.
Tribes. Yeah, and supporting each other, you know? But like, for me, just knowing that I have, away from the UK, but my own community of Ugandans behind me. A lot of like East African listeners, when I'm going and traveling, doing tours and stuff, they're meeting, they're like, mention it to me. Obviously, I've gone back home as well and I've seen the effect. Yo, like,
yeah,
I didn't realize that man's actually a superstar back home. There's a certain radio station which every single person in Uganda tunes into because you know, like, technology's a bit behind. It's not the same. Can't just go online and just know what's going on sometimes. They just got to tune into radio. I actually touched that platform where my mum, aunties, everyone, when they were younger, that was all they had. So it brought a tear to her eye just seeing that, rah, like, you know, they're all aunties and that all ringing away like, yo, it's your son on this radio station. Yo, he's actually big out here.
Yeah, and in this day and age, I think we need moments like that to prove to our parents that we've actually got a real job.
Oh, you're 100%, bro.
Because sometimes 100%. They don't really understand it, especially when you're doing music and in the past you've been in trouble a few times. She's not really sure where the direction of this career is going. You know what I mean?
You know what? To be fair, I'm not going to lie to you. As Daniel, I've also patterned up behind the scenes and it started with back home, you know, investing in my mother's land. Investing in these certain 1-2 places and things. No, check it. Let me do something. I want to call my mum right now. Hopefully she answers.
Hello?
Hello, mummy. You all right?
Yeah.
Just have a quick question to ask you, mum.
Yeah.
Can you remind me how many acres we have back in Uganda right now?
We have about 28.5 acres.
28.5 acres. I'm going to talk to you after I finish what I'm doing and we'll catch up and sort out all those plans.
Yeah, that sounded like acres on acres on acres.
How many football pitches is 1 acre?
Oh, shit.
An acre is approximately the same size as 1/2 of a football pitch or 16 tennis courts. As you can see here.
So you've got 16 football pitches of land.
28.
No, because 20. You've got 28.5
acres. 28.5
acres,
sorry.
1 acre's half a football pitch.
Correct.
So half of 28 is 16, right?
Correct.
No, I'm bugging. I'm
half
moving
of
crazy. 28 14.
Is 14.
Yeah, I was moving nuts. I'm driving.
I just want to let people know, because this is the first time I've really actually showed people this.
Yeah.
A lot of people will look at us drill rappers and not really understand that, yo, there is longevity behind this, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I respect, like, Lethal Bizzle. I see what he was doing in Ghana, his apartments and stuff. I was watching his process along the way, you know?
Yeah.
My mom, obviously, a lot of the time she deals with my business back home.
Yeah.
So away from Unknown T, I'm all right as Daniel.
Yeah, you know? I need
the public to understand that. You see, this music game, we can't let it break us as a person behind this persona. You know what I'm saying? So naturally, obviously, we all know at the time when I released Blood Diamond, I didn't get the best position on the charts that I really wanted, didn't it? I, knowing me, wanted a top 10. I released my album, got 65th position.
Yeah.
But I know in my heart all the stuff that's really going on in the background, you know what I'm saying? So it's like...
Nah, that's a crazy achievement because, you know, a lot of people wouldn't know that and a lot of people don't need to know that. But it's important to know that somebody such as yourself who
100%.
Could be kind of categorized in a certain group of people 100%. Or people might doubt your intelligence or whatever 100%. You've got going on. Just has his life in order and is trying to continue to get his life in order anyway. In terms of music growing up, obviously you're a younger generation to me. Who's you regard as like your favorite rapper ever? Because I know what a lot of people from my generation would say, but I'm interested to know like what type of music you grew up on and who you would consider your favorite rapper.
I wasn't the type of kid that idolized the Americans.
Yeah.
Obviously I didn't really have much at home, so I couldn't really understand what was going on out there, pay for whatever, but I could watch Channel AKA.
Yeah.
I was from a hood where a lot of the time people would tune into like Rap City, Limitless, Vids. Like, I was into the old school shit as well, innit? So, Potter, Mover, Rimzy.
These are the people that are your favorite rappers ever.
When I was growing up,
yeah.
Well, amongst one of them, yes, that built me to who I am today. People like Getz also built me to who I am now with the flows. Skeptas. Oh yeah, let me not forget Boy Better Know. Like, JME Squad. Like, all of them.
You ain't said a one Drake or one no American, no.
Nah, I respect them, but I know you do.
I know you do, but I'm saying your strongest influences are from here. That's impressive. You're 25 in August, yeah?
Yeah.
So GRM's 15 years, yeah?
Mm.
That means that when GRM started, you was 10.
Yeah.
So that means that all you've ever known from a teenager onwards is presence of UK music.
Yeah, bro.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So like, you're like the perfect ideal scenario of the reason why all the people that have contributed to growing this culture.
This culture, yeah.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? What do you think of the state of drill right now? Because I remember being younger.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that long ago, but you know. I remember being younger and I remember this thing called Grime and I used to try and play it to people and they weren't really hearing it. That was older than me or like I might be rolling with one of my uncles or bigger cousins or something and I'll be playing like rap music and they're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel now when someone plays me drill. I respect it a lot. I respect it thoroughly, but I'm a grown man. Like, I'm talking to accountants, lawyers, artists, people. So there's a very short window, but there's a select few, like 10 drill songs that I can bang and know word for word. But there's a very small window of time for me for drill, if that makes any sense, as the older generation. But I do respect it.
Yeah.
Where do you think drill is now as a genre?
Drill, I personally believe musically, still has the same effect and feeling it has had from the beginning. It's just that right now, we in the UK have heard enough of it. Where sonically, human beings, innit, it comes to a point where you can only hear so much until your mind starts to gravitate away, where you're not there yet. You know what I'm saying? You're not there anymore. And also with age, you know, we're growing as well. As you said, you're around accountants, etc. So you're not going to be trying to play these tunes in them type of spaces, but maybe in the gym, you might still play it, even as a grown man.
100.
Like me, I like to say that I like drill. Yes, when I do drill, I do that best. However, I am an artist, so I like to tap into different sounds and different emotions so people can understand me as a person. And what I've noticed with traveling a lot in the world is the fans and audience bases are open to artists doing that. I was with a guy called Kalash from France, big artist, but he was telling me one day he can drop drill, then he can drop pain, then he can drop like vocal tunes because the fans appreciate different versions of them, which is interesting. Because the UK here is very viral moment or who's popping now? What I'm trying to conclude is basically, everyone has had their perception of drill in the UK. Yes, I get it, I understand. People are tired of it now, cool. But let's not completely block it out, because internationally, technology and like the internet and the people's ears, they haven't caught up to where our ears are right now.
They're
still listening to Hummer and Bees, or might be still listening to Diggity Boys or other tunes, whatever, whatever's. Yeah.
But yeah, those two tunes are in my top 20 biggest UK bangers.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. When I'm performing in these new countries, they are still flexing like it's fresh. And some people are only finding out about Unknown T now. See, when I went to Australia, that's when I really felt it. Because some people are only starting to understand my impact in drill now. Like 2023, obviously, I went last year. You get it. But like, my point is, give it time. Technology, internet, the travel of music, the people's ears, the psychology of music. These are all factors that contribute with drill here in the UK. And I believe right now, fair enough, it may have branched out a little bit and the sound is changing, but the appreciation has not changed around other places that are still catching on.
You're synonymous with being from Homerton.
Yeah.
You was part of the group, or are part of the group, the 98s.
Yes, bro.
It seems like the whole of Homerton is behind you. That's what it seems from where I sit, basically. Not knowing too much, but knowing some.
Mm-hmm.
How have you managed to do that? You're responsible for a lot of people and a lot of things. Like, how have you managed to escape, like, issues of entitlement with friends or people expecting things? Like, how have you managed to still, like, have that support from Homer, and if that makes any sense?
Very interesting, because what I've learned is, obviously, the area that I'm from, we're built a bit different. We aren't as financially well off than other places, other regions in London, but all we have is just love and unity, you know? And one thing I didn't realise with naming my song Homer and B, how much love and unity it fueled, not only within man's hood environment, but within my community as well.
Okay.
So just from that alone, the inner love has been instilled.
Yeah.
But also, me being able to support the Mandem through the 98 business. Remember, it's a business. Like, the Mandem all wanted to be rappers at a certain point of time, which I respect and give full support and love to. And like, I never shied away from that and knew my roots, where I came from. So I'll be honest to you, bro. Man has always had my hood behind me, bro.
Yeah.
Over there, indoors and out. And that, just being you, being yourself, and understanding where you come from and supporting in the little ways you can, speaks louder than money.
Would you say that your experience of living in Hackney your whole life, would you say, has it been segregated the whole time you've been a teenager? Or was there a time where it wasn't so segregated?
That's a good question. I feel like Hackney being very testosterone and full of like alphas and like members that really value power and respect and these type of things away from money, you know, it's made it very competitive. There's a lot of hunger for the top position and also just claiming that you are the person that has the structure and control. There's a lot of that energy that goes on. You get me?
But it's funny because you don't seem like somebody that's like dwells in power or respect. No. I feel like you command it with your peaceful energy, your humbleness, and your intelligence, actually. So how do you deal with that in such an environment?
For me, I don't need to act, you know? I've been in the most secure prisons, you know? I've been out with the baddest of baddest boys, you know? I've seen everything. So for me, I'm comfortable in my own skin. And I've realized from these other people that are the baddest of baddest people, they're just themselves trying to reform and change. Understand? And that's what I'm trying to do, you know? I'm just trying to come out and clean my name. Which I've done. I've tried to, you know, from fashion to everything. I've patched up so much. You probably don't even know that I went jail for whatever I went jail for.
I wanted to speak about that as well.
Yeah, we can
actually,
talk.
And
we
I'm
can
glad
talk.
You touched on it. What's it like being famous as you were and being in jail, especially at the age at which you are? Because obviously your age group is more... It's more testosterone filled.
Yeah.
There's like less life experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
People move off emotion a lot more than sense sometimes in some circumstances. So what was that experience like for you?
You know what? Yeah, because remember, I was like, 18, turning 19 when I went in jail, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was young. But remember, Hummer and B times, I used to be like, I was this big boy. Niggas would think I was 25 if you didn't know my actual age. I was the youngest at the time. You feel, man? It was a period of time that I needed to turn from a boy to a man. Well, I got to understand life, the reality, you know, the final destination when you want to really take it this way, this is the route now. Well, my God showed me, yo, this is the life that is the final destination point if you really want to lead it this way. And thankfully, obviously, through my situation, I know my innocence, you understand? Like, came out, reformed my life. But that period of time made me see things that a lot of people in my industry have never seen.
What were those experiences like in terms of like you being young, you being well known?
Yeah, yeah.
Your age,
yeah.
Being in jail, what's that like?
The only analogy I could say, yeah, is like imagine putting a penguin in an environment full of hyenas. I knew myself, I was different to everybody in here, you know? But I had to adjust to my environment and understand my environment and how to survive in here. Seeing the way how, like, govs controlled people and were very toxic to, like, a lot of people, even myself, you know, just letting me know that, yeah, you may be this guy outside on the roads, but you are this person when you are here. I have you under control, type of vibe. That shit there humbled me and made me understand, oh, all right, cool. Don't be treating people in a different way when you're outside, because you never know how positions can change.
I think, am I right in saying Diggity was your cellmate at a certain time? Or yeah, were you in the same jail?
He was my cellmate at a certain point of time still.
And were you guys friends before then?
We honestly, like, only had one phone call to each other to sort out a session, but weren't, like, friends.
And then
he went jail first.
Yeah.
And then I went jail for my own separate reasons a few months later.
Yeah.
I didn't know of him. I only liked his music. I always listened to his music in my own private time.
Okay.
But we were going to sort out a session. He went jail. I went from Pentonville, which is an East London prison. Because of the severity of my case, they had to, with no choice, send me to a Category A prison, which was Belmarsh. You know what I'm saying? Ross Kemp's done documentaries on it. Worst prison in the UK. That's where I bought Diggity.
How does that happen, though, with you two being in the same cell? As in, like, was that just by a chance?
Obviously, it wasn't even like that. At first, obviously, I had my co-defendant that was with me at first. Once I was there, I had people from my hood, people from connecting hoods that, like, knew, all right, no, this is T. He's people's. He's part of the mandem. You understand? I baked and got to be comfortable and understand individuals where everyone, including the govs, could see, you know what? Nah, these two are big figures in this music scene. Let them move in together and actually, like, you get me? Make
something
out of
this. Okay, cool. So they allowed it to happen?
Yeah, because you're not allowed to just move into next people's cells and that. But
okay.
Like, where they could see, I was actually building a relationship with Don Don. Like,
yeah.
They actually allowed it and could see, nah, you know what? Let's allow them to do something positive, innit?
So you two must actually know each other, like, way different to how you might know another artist, just because you've spent that much time together and with no distractions, just conversation, maybe writing lyrics, then you would potentially know in comparison to any other artist, really.
Yeah, I'm not going to cap, yeah, bro.
That's right and saying, right?
Yeah.
You two don't even have space to fall out because you know each other,
yeah.
Basically, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. I can say that with chest still.
And what did you guys do in that time? Like, was it just bars, conversation?
You know what? It wasn't actually just bars, you know? Like, we actually got to understand each other away from music. Like,
yeah.
Whatever his life story was and what my life story was, questioning each other, understanding each other. I've never said this out loud, but bro, one night I was actually a bit emotional because I haven't chatted to my dad in time.
Yeah.
He never really checked in on me during my whole situation, but like, he was awake and clocked me, like, you know, feeling away and stuff. Like, you know, little moments like that, the whole world don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have any others in the industry. I have a few relationships, but like, with my guy still, when I was going court, he was doing my hair still.
You lot are like brothers then at this point, because you've been through some real life situations. What's the worst investment you've ever made?
Restaurant.
Oh dear.
At the time, I was trying to make my own like restaurant vibe, Newington Green. You know what I'm saying? Actually patterned, like, got the kitchen space and everything. But like, bro, like, it's just so much cost behind having an actual kitchen or business, basically.
So what did it get off the ground? What happened?
bro, like, long story short, like, I tried to test and try. I was just making too much L's.
The expenses were too much. Yeah, they weren't expenses, justifying the profit. Yeah, and,
it didn't make sense. Obviously, at the time, it was COVID as well. Like, people wasn't outside. So I wasn't able to, like, actually attract consumers in and stuff. Everyone's indoors.
Yeah, it was the wrong time to launch a business.
One thing I'm trying to do right now, though, is start, like, my own series shit or, like, filming shit and production stuff as well. Because, like, I just feel like drill has been so policed.
Yeah,
but like, there's so much free space for places like Top Boy and stuff. Like, look at it right off Top Boy. His son went to our school and was gossiping everything back to his dad, you know. And his dad was also looking at what was going on in Holly Street and going on in my hood as well, making it their own, like naming this and that similar names of whatever's going on in Hackney. But like, my point is, I'm trying to now put myself into these environments to make these stories, make these series, and make people actually understand my story.
What do you think is the best thing that's ever come out of Hackney? Other than yourself?
Top Boy. Fair. Top Boy is the best thing to come out of Hackney. I'm not going to lie. Because you know what? The impact that it's had on the rest of the world, brother. Hats off, bro. And one thing I'll say again, that's our story. That is our story, bro. I don't need to say much detail. Go do your research. Like, I respect also Ashley Waters for coming and giving me that moment as well. Like, with Who Said Jules Dead? Yeah. When I go to places like America, go to different countries, this is what makes them wake up to me.
Yeah.
And what I appreciate is that there was this, once upon a time, Top Boy were releasing different episodes, but I remember my community were really upset with the fact that they're using our traumas.
Yeah.
They're using our traumas, but what have you really done to actually, yeah? I respect them for giving it back, you know? And I respect Ashley Waters at least being the one to break in the rules and doing the story that we wanted to do for the video.
Yeah, because yeah.
In a way, we had to actually show them the truth, you know? That's actually my story, bruv.
Yeah, no, Ashley is a G.
He's a G still, man.
He's been in it longer than me.
Yeah, but you know what I rate as well? Kano.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I feel like Kano's got a type of career that you want to have eventually. Mm. He started rapping way before your time, if that makes any sense. And Kano's my Potter.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So imagine he's Maya Potter, but now he's that renowned in acting as well.
Yeah.
That's crazy, it's right? Crazy. That you can live in those separate worlds.
Worlds, yeah.
But now he's coming after your spot. You see him doing all that fashion shit.
Yeah, I see him still. I'm going to have to just try and change shoes, bro. I'm trying to come after his spot. I'm trying to do that acting.
They never want the dark-skinned niggas to live like.
I know, bro. These niggas are here in Paris. Bro. Another interesting thing I actually wanted to mention to you.
Yeah.
That you mentioned Paris. When I go to like Europe especially, yeah. I like to ask my like friends there or consumers there, like what are they listening to or how they tuning into UK music. A lot of them, 90% of the time, are telling me GRM Daily.
What's the other 10% saying?
Honestly, just probably from clubs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, majority is GRM. And it's made me realise how shit's changing, but we don't deep it when we're here though. We're just fucking it off. We're not really realising, yo, this here is like, it's like the Bible to what's going on in the UK music scene right now.
But you know what I feel like? I feel like YouTube ads kind of fucked that up. And I'll explain why. Because there became like a little trend where it's like, once you've blown on GRM, go on your own channel. And for the artist, if that makes sense. And it became a bit of a look as in like, oh, I don't need a platform sort of thing. But really, your label monetizes your video, whether it's on your channel or our channel, right? And I've always viewed GRM as a bit of a supermarket. So it's like, say for example, Unknown T's dropping Thursday, Tion's dropping Thursday, Hedy's dropping Thursday, this one's dropping Thursday, this one's dropping Thursday. If Tion ain't the most popping rapper on that Thursday, for example, and Unknown T was, for example, he's still going to steal some of that audience on the drop.
Yes.
Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So then it's like, now artists are so stuck in that mind frame. You're just going on your channel when it's your quiet time. As it happens to everyone, you're going to have quiet time. You can't be the hottest thing in the world forever. You know that, innit?
Yeah.
You're going to your own channel and then everyone's buying YouTube views, if that makes any sense. Not YouTube views.
YouTube ads,
basically.
YouTube ads, yeah.
So we're all sort of like lying to ourselves, yeah? And then there's not any new talent being broken anymore because there's no base for the new talent. Mm. The base for the new talent isn't being nurtured enough for new talent to be breaking. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Our strongest moments, I feel like, as a culture, have been when we've been unified. But yeah, no, I appreciate you letting me know that. What's a song that you like that no one would expect that you like?
I really like Pimp Preface's music.
What song though?
There's no particular song.
No, no, I want to know one song in your life that like.
Cool. I'm just going to say a song that's been gravitating to me as of recent.
Yeah.
Tyler, Water. Obviously, it's a general, like, everyone's
people
been listening.
People could understand why you like that song.
But yeah, honestly, bro, like, I remember one time I was doing, like, I think it was a model shoot, clothing shoot? I can't remember. But, like, I was just hearing it, and I had so much on my mind that day. But, like, it made me remember that, yo, sometimes you need music to balance you, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? On some real shit, bro, like.
And in about 80 years, after you got your 10 grandkids.
Yeah.
8 kids,
yeah.
Your mansion and all that. You decide to pass away at 105. What's the last song that you'd want to hear?
Something inside so strong. You thought that my pride was gone. Oh no. Oh. Something inside so strong.
Oh. Yeah.
See that tune?
Yeah.
I want to go to heaven to that tune.
Big tune. Big tune. I respect that.
Something inside so strong.
I respect that. All right, we're almost at the end. Is there anything you want to ask me? I always give my guests like one question.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I want to ask you, what do you think, in fact, where do you think had more of an impact for UK drill? USA or UK?
I feel like the excitement and hype that UK drill made actually brought the resurgence back.
I agree.
From what Chief Keef and those men
I agree,
had created, and especially with like a lot of our producers producing their beats as well. Yeah. I don't think we've had such an influx of UK producers being needed.
Yeah.
So that's how I saw it. I feel like Chief Keef and them lot made a mark.
Yeah.
That kind of went quiet.
Yeah, we amplified it.
6-7 and all that, and all the guys from Brixton and... Not just 6-7, that whole kind of movement.
Nah. And you know what? The week when me and Dig Dat dropped as well, to be fair, also gave the UK an elevated point of drill.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was an impact to the history of drill, UK drill here. I personally believe UK drill has made us a midpoint in the... not just the UK, actually. UK drill has made us a midpoint in the world for people to open their eyes and tune into us in other angles, such as movies, etc., etc.
No,
that's my opinion, isn't it?
And you definitely played a major part in that. I'm definitely proud of your progress.
Thank you, bro.
You as a person, how humble you are, how intelligent you are, and how committed you are into like making a change in your life. And how far you've come in these few years as a person and artistically. The album's amazing. And yeah, I just want to wish you the best in your endeavors. And I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thank you so much, my bro. Man, my hands are sweaty right now.
Oh, sweat
down. I have a sweat problem, man.
Is it?
Yeah, bro.
Like, how long has that been going on for?
It's like as a young G, my dad in it, but I'm trying to patch it up, man.
Is it?
That like, just sweats randomly, innit? Like, Then you see when I dropped Homer and B?
Yeah.
You know what's so crazy, bro? Like, we're actually in the future now because people are talking to me like it was a historical moment. When I go France, when I go Spain, when I go to these places, telling me about like when they were in secondary school, how drill impact, yeah, Homer and B. But like, I'm just seeing history repeat itself, innit?
Okay, cool. Crazy. So people are talking to you about Homer and B like it was so long ago, as in terms of their life experience, as in like they're telling you, oh, when this happened, do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, bro.
And it's so interesting.
Like it's made a mark in their lives.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Like imagine being that uni student when Homer and B dropped and you're in a dance and
bro, like
you're in the vibe that you was in.
Yeah, check it. Interesting story. You see the week when I dropped my album, obviously you do like radio runs and that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've gone back into Capital Extra. I've seen this random lady who's come to me and said, yo, you don't know how much Homer and B had an impact on me. The moment I listened to Homer and B, I was just so interested in getting into this world. She found her first job in Capital Extra and has been there since then.
Because she heard that song.
Because she heard that tune, bro.
That's crazy.
See that shit there, bro? Touches, man, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
The other girl I was with in France, telling man, in secondary school, you don't know how much the French boys, you plus other rappers, etc., had an impact on the French boys trying to move like UK rappers, like secondary school till now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, rah, like, I didn't realize how much an impact I had, like.
I feel like you're new still, but you're not new. Mm. You're like, you're actually almost halfway through like iconic status because you might have been in the game at least 5 years now.
100%.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? Anything over 10 and still being relevant for me is iconic status.
Yeah, you know
what? You're going towards that side.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, bro, because like for me, I feel like at first I was a bit disheartened with like, obviously right now is a very difficult time being a musician, bro. So much competition, so much other like, alternative goods and products that are obviously going to sway the eyes of consumers. But as well as that, like there's a lot of, how do I say it? Like powerhouses, DBEs, Daves, Stormzy's. Big up the guys that have done the 10 years that you're saying. There's a lot of them that are still there now that have a lot of the consumer loyalty. And now it's about me also understanding, it's not like how it was when I came in the game getting these viral moments anymore. We've gone back to when Manon were out here trying to fetch fans with CDs out here again and physically actually making fans connect to you. Like, that's the point that I feel like within my 5 year point now, because I'm no longer a fresh artist. Usually in the UK, you have to be fresh for people to just, people like to see what's going on, what's new. You know, that's just a general, cool. But 5 years later, we'll show who's really for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
So now I'm in that point where I'm not trying to look at chart positions and that anymore, you know? I'm actually just trying to now grow
the
love of consumers, of what I already have, but also I can fetch out here. So like Blood Diamond, for example, cool. I've used that, honestly, as a opportunity to find different fans that would not listen to Unknown T, which I believe I've successfully done, you know? I want the people that are uni lecturers. I want the people that are barristers or defendants of us clients, you know? I want the people that are football coaches or massage the football players and stuff to be listening to me that would never listen to me out in like north of the UK. But my point is connected to these outsiders and taking that risk of like sonically showing I'm not just drill. I feel like that's going to help me last for good because bro, I had to realize the hard way that drill, I love drill, but it was a very niche genre. And I began to understand now the history of music. I used to always keep myself very, very cautious and wary of anyone that tries to tingle me because of my size, my figure, and my name. One thing I learned was that a lot of bad boys actually appreciated what I'd done for the culture, for the moment, for the people that are behind closed doors. They see me as one of them, you know? I'm probably the one of the only few that have actually made it outside of the tunnel. That's a saying that they used to always say to me, T, we want to see you just reach the other side of the tunnel, bro. I might one day do something around Unknown Tea, do some chicken wings, do something. Yeah. I don't know. But like right now I'm in mode of like, see, Unknown Tea, the brand, I'm really trying to like perfect this brand.